Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for the organizers to invite me to come here to share my work. I'm talking about the sorghum mutant population in Tilling. So you all know sorghum is a very drought heat tolerant plant. It has a C4 photosynthesis with a high water use efficiency, and that is really great for climate change. And it's also emerged as a very promising biofuel crop. And most importantly, have a sequence genome. So do all the genomic selection, all the modern mapping, everything, it will be very convenient. But it doesn't really have a good mutant population. And that's why we want to build a mutant population. So we would like to create like a 6,400 pedigreed mutant lines. So we can use this mutant line to screen mutant that may be relevant to sorghum improvement, and also use this as a genetic resource to select the mutant for certain genes to confirm the gene function, and through a reverse genetic technology called Tilling. But I don't want to go through that name. But anyway, so the mutation. And it's really a short version of evolution, really. Because, the evolution and the breeding taking tens of thousands of years to happen. So we're in the induced pedigree mutation, so which is in a few years, we get all the phenotype we can confirm. And also, the most another important thing is in the natural selection, so all those little mutations that could be changed in the key gene function, and through thousand years of selection, they'd be all filtered out. But in a pedigree in a mutant population, you can preserve everything in the population. If you found a key gene that affects a key process, and you can always go back to the library and re-ask the mutation and study it. And here how we did it, and okay, so we mutinized the BTX 16-3, which is a sequence line, and this is called M1, and then we grow to the next generation, that's M2, and then we grow just like grow the head rows. We only select one plant, and to produce the next generation seed, and also to prepare genomic DNA for do the reverse genetic thing. And then in this generation, we evaluate all the phenotypes. And I think now I just want to go quickly through, what kind of phenotype we have seen that may be relevant to agriculture or to sorghum improvement. And one is the cold tolerance line. And so on the top is a mutant get from the library. In the bottom is actually a cold tolerant line we selected from a Chinese material. And that's a very cold tolerant lines. But when we do the early planting, like in April 1st, and then this mutant actually perform better than the cold tolerant lines we have isolated. And here is some like drought tolerant. But of course, I'm not so sure this is really good for agriculture. But it's kind of a survival drought really well. And when after planting, we never watered, and just let all the plant die and then rewatered, and just like one that survived naturally. And then our research leader Jiang Burke and developing a in vitro method to select stay grain. So stay grain has been a very important drought tolerance trait in corn, in sorghum, and wheat, and many different crops. But the stay grain evaluation is very, very difficult because you have to have the right amount of stress and at the right time. So he developed an in vitro assay, used fluorescence assay. And so this is a lot of different lines. We go through it. And I just want you to know that the highest the stay grain line actually is come from the mutant population. They call Ames, the Ames line, this one. And that was even better than the golden standard. This is like the blue bar. That's well-known stay grain lines. And so here is some like the brown midrib mutant. And this kind of mutant have a better digestibility and higher ethanol yield. It's good for bioenergy study. And we screen over 40 different kind of brown meat mutant. And so this is a summary of the brown meat mutant. We have many alleles of BMR6 and BMR12. That's a mutant known before, but we have different new alleles. And more interesting, we have a specific allele of BMR12 with better digestibility, but also higher biomass yield, and here a higher free sugar content. And so usually the BMR mutant grew not very well because of the mutation, but this the mutation actually grew better. And so we can also have a sixth novel mutant that belong to four new loci, and hopefully this mutant population will provide new tools to engineering sorghum as a bioenergy crop. And so this is a really interesting line. This is so sorghum actually, even though it's an annual crop, but it's really a perennial plant. If you give them enough temperature and water, they just continue to grow. And when they can start tillers and everything, they just continue to grow for years. And then we found some mutant, which is once they set in seed, the whole plant just died, like corn, become an annual plant. So actually, this one is I really didn't realize the importance until Jerry O'Rear, entrepreneur, start bioenergy sorghum company. He says this is really important. The reason is because when you use sorghum as a biomass crop, because it's a perennial, it never dries. It doesn't really get dry in a season. So it's very costly to transport it, to store, and maybe the nutrient recycle is also a problem. So if we can convert this to a truly annual crop, at the end of the season, it's all dries up, very easy to harvest, to transport, and to store. And that's actually a pretty good trait. Okay, we found another one with the help of Chris Little from Kansas State University, like a Steve Stock mutant. So here's the rand penetrometer, which is measure the force, the peak force to penetrate through the stalk and see. So here's the Steve Stock mutant, and this is a wild type. BTECN3, it takes about 10 pounds of about 10 kilograms of penetrating force to penetrate through the stem. While the stiff mutant takes about like a 20 kilograms. That's quite a bit increase in the stalk strength. And this is really good for binary sorghum and green sorghum as well, because it will prevent lodging, especially at a higher density. And this is the protein content and protein digestibility that's done by Scott Bean. And we found really nice changes in both parameters. And also, I didn't show here, and the protein content and protein digestibility have no correlation at all. So but that means you can have a high protein and with high digestibility, and that'd be really good for feed. And also for bioenergy thing. And here's some of the large panicles. And so I have one type of large panicle was not shown here. It's reliably produced more than twice the amount of seed numbers in any condition, whether you grow in the greenhouse, field, anywhere. And of course, the screen is a little smaller, so that the challenge is to fill the screen. And that could be a problem. So this is not sorghum. This is a corn field. And all the modern corn field and corn hybrid have the erect leaves. So I happened I grew my mutant population here shows the yield increase of the maize line and sorghum lines. You can see the maize have a increase much faster, three times faster. And one of the things that contributes to increase is the years per square meters, basically the green numbers per square meter. And that means really higher density. So what enables the corn hybrids to grow at a high density is, they compared the many the physiological traits, and they found it's the leaf angle score. That's a major contributor for the corn hybrid be able to grow at a higher density. But anyway, so we isolate quite a number of irregular leaf mutants, which is quite much like corn, and so we hope those irregular leaf mutants we can improve the source to fill all the grain that we found that have high grain numbers. And we have quite a few different kind of irregular leaf angle mutants. And now I go to some of the biological significant mutant, but may not really much useful in terms of improving sorghum, but it could be biological quite important. One is the apicular wax mutant, and this is the wild type, and the plant covered with wax, and this mutant have no wax at all. And so we have over 100 of this kind of mutant, and hopefully this mutant will be able to us to digest the pathways and making sorghum have so much wax, and so that's the way maybe we can use this pathway to engineering corn or some other plant that are more water efficient and drought tolerant. And that's some of the high pillaring mutant, and some of the leaf shapes and size, and some of the leaf neck crosses, and that could be useful for study disease resistance, stuff like that. And by this year we have 6,000 lines, and we have website, and to show the phenotype we have, the mutant we observed. And so, as I say, a library, is useful only if people read it. And so, this library is free to for public use, and welcome use it. I guess my time is run out, right? But anyway, maybe I'll just go quickly to the last slide, which is tilling. So we have built a tilling platform, and so I just want to tilling is just really a fancy name, but basically it is to find a mutation in a specific genes. Now we have a platform to find, if you have a gene, you want to find what the gene do when you mutate it, and so we can do it. And the only thing is I don't really have funding, I don't have really human resource to do it, so anybody interested in sorghum tilling, just contact me, send students to my lab, I'll train them, I'll cover all the costs, and I have lots of people help me one way or another. I don't have time to go over all of those, and those are my team working in the field in summer, and it was really hot, and especially this year. Thank you for your attention, and if anybody have any questions.